As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Dan, and it's Dan Patrick Show. We were just planning the Meat Friday menu. Sorry, Fritzy and McLovin and Seton. Yeah, so Paulie and I weren't sure. I was thinking lobster tomorrow.
Lobster on Meat Friday?
Yeah, I think some lobster sandwiches on the Traeger.
Do we need some turf to go with the surf?
We can do that. But yeah, we're planning the menu for tomorrow. You guys don't need to worry about it. Yes, Seton?
I just saw the other day somebody had like a lobster grilled cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if you guys want to throw that on there.
Well, you can do like mac and cheese with lobster thrown in there.
Yeah.
Sounds like that'd be tasty there.
This is a grilled cheese sandwich. Ooh. And they put lobster in it. Mm. Man, did it look good.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it tastes tomorrow. Yes, good friend Paulie.
Lobster rolls on the East Coast, traditionally for those out there, are either with hot butter, like warmed butter, and lobster meat, or a cold lobster roll with more like mayo, tarragon, chives, and so forth. And which do you prefer, Dan?
I like the warm.
You do?
Yeah, I like it warm. Some like it hot.
Your
I like
local
it warm.
Place is notorious for warm lobster rolls.
Yes. Yeah. Seven Seas has some of the best lobster rolls. Did I ever tell you when my brother-in-law came to town, he would come in the Connecticut area for business. And he said, hey, I'm going to be in the area. Maybe I'll stop by and we could have lunch. So he had lunch and he had never had a lobster roll there. So he said, this is unbelievable. So he got one, he got another one. The next day, he comes back to the restaurant for lunch. I don't know he's there. He doesn't even tell me because he doesn't want me to realize he's ordering two more lobster rolls. And I walk in because I was getting a salad from there. And I look over and he's in the corner by himself. I said, Matt. And he was shocked and embarrassed. He's like, hey. I said, what are you doing? He goes, having lobster rolls? I said, okay. Like, I won't tell my sister you're having four lobster rolls in 2 days. I busted him. So,
have you ever heard the backstory of lobster as a food? Lobster was like junk food for workers, like workers on the East Coast who worked on ships and ports and docks. And 100 years ago, lobster was the like gristle. It was junk. And then over the years, it's changed to be a high-end, expensive food.
Hmm.
But back in the day, it was not.
But isn't there another food that was like that? That it started out as basically, we're going to give this to people who had lower incomes. And then maybe it became a little bit more. I mean, the Italians with pasta, I don't think that was something that cost a lot of money. And then, you know, we look at pasta now and, you know, people pay good money to go to Italian restaurants there. I thought that there was a food that was sort of a, here, we're going to give this to you lower on the totem pole than people are a little bit higher on the totem pole. Yeah, Paul.
There's an article in Bon Appetit magazine that lobsters were once fed to poor people and to prisoners.
Wow.
And it's changed over the past 100 years.
Yeah. I mentioned at the tail end of last hour about Ben Roethlisberger, a video out there of him throwing the football and he trying to get his arm back in shape. And then you had Jay Glazer sort of joking that Ben, you know, his workout session in the offseason is one yoga class, play some golf and drink some beer, which that sounds like my workout routine, but I'm not an NFL quarterback. I don't know. All right. Stay with me here on conspiracy. Mike Tomlin and Jay Glazer are good friends. Does Mike Tomlin say to Jay Glazer, hey, can you help me out here? Can you maybe prod a little bit? Can you motivate Ben Roethlisberger here? I'm just guessing here because Tomlin talking to Jay Glazer, and Glazer probably said, hey, how's Ben doing? And, you know, Tomlin probably says, playing a lot of golf and drinking beer. And Glazer probably had this Q&A with The Athletic, and he had these people ask questions about Ben, if he's 85% healthy, what do you think of the Steelers' chances? This might be a little motivation that Mike Tomlin is asking Jay Glazer to do him a solid here and send it. Yes, McLovin.
Doesn't Jay try to get everyone into his gym? Isn't that his
it's
thing?
True. Like, he's not getting he's probably... Ben. He's not, Ben's not going into the dojo. He's not. If he is, it'd be to pick up somebody. He's not going to stay.
Remember when Seton had his trip to the dojo? That didn't end well.
Yeah. Glazer gets people in there and he works them out. You know, he gets great results and there's a lot of athletes who go in there. But no, Ben is not. Ben's got one more year, right? Is he 38?
Yeah, 30? Just turned 38 2 months ago.
Who else? The Steelers got Mason Rudolph and Duck Devlin, right? Man, that's not, you're not set up for the future. Why is it that the Steelers aren't set up for the future, but the Packers are set up for the future? I got Rodgers, who still plays at a pretty high level. And they draft Jordan Love, who's not going to be ready. Here's another thing. Source told me this yesterday. We were talking about Jordan Love. He said, if you're not ready to play for at least 2 years at the quarterbacking position, you're not a first-round draft pick. Not in today's NFL. You're not a first-round draft pick. How many quarterbacks are drafted and they have, understand this, Jordan Love is supposed to be maybe a watered-down version of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe, or his style is like Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes sat for 1 year behind a Pro Bowl quarterback who led them to the playoffs in Alex Smith, and he became the starter. They traded Alex Smith. And we looked at Patrick Mahomes and said, maybe he's a little rough around the edges. Maybe it's going to take him a little time. You know, he's got some bad tendencies here. Got a great arm. He's athletic. He's smart. That took 1 year. Now you're telling me that Jordan Love is going to take 2 to 3 years? That's not a first-round quarterback. Not. Jalen Hurts is ready to play now more than Jordan Love is, in my opinion. Yeah, Paul.
It's true, but I just went back and looked at a bunch of draft profiles and negative draft comments on Patrick Mahomes when he selected, and the word project is used. He's a great prospect. He has great throwing ability, but he has never played in the NFL system. There's a lot of good future quarterback possibility stuff with Mahomes.
Well, I think that's where, and obviously Andy Reid knows quarterbacks, and Andy saw something and said, I can make that work. I don't know how many other teams. Now, this is where you get revisionist history. Hey, we had a high grade. Now, Sean Payton, to his credit, did say they were taking Patrick Mahomes. If the Chiefs did not take him, they were taking him. And he said that. I haven't heard any other team say, you know what, we had a really high grade on Patrick Mahomes. You know, you have teams now that talk about Russell Wilson. Oh, you know, we were going to take him. Oh, we had him high on the everybody passed on him a couple times through. So you weren't that high on him. If you were, you would have done what the Packers did with Jordan Love. Imagine that. Jordan Love is not ready to play. Now, people looked at Russell Wilson as a backup quarterback. He was going to be like Tavares Jackson. We just don't know. He was compared to Seneca Wallace. That's why when it comes to quarterback play, I don't know what Jordan Love is going to be. Because I've had people in Wisconsin say, you might be eating your words on Jordan Love. That's okay. I don't know how good he is. So if I'm eating my words, it's don't take Jordan Love now. He doesn't help you now. Unless you don't think this team is truly a 13-win team, which they clearly don't. The over-under is 9 for the Packers. You're taking Jordan Love. You've never taken a wide receiver in the first round. A draft that was full of wide receivers. You didn't get one. Prior to the draft, I said on the show, there's enough wide receivers that every team will get one. Well, guess who didn't? Green Bay. And I think they rely on Aaron too much, or they have, to make something happen. Your Aaron Rodgers, go out there and make something happen. We're going to spend our draft picks on other things. Well, defense wasn't any good last year against San Francisco 49ers, right? And that's the style you want to try to emulate. And you're not going to be as good as the 49ers anytime soon. With their offense and their defense, you're not going to be as good as them. Your quarterback play is better than their quarterback play. But they got better skill position players. Had a great draft, brought in a tackle. Trent Williams, going to start for him, left tackle. If that's who you're measuring yourself against, you didn't do a good job in the offseason. And if this is a long-term play, all right, 3 years. When's the last time a quarterback waited 3 years to start? Aaron Rodgers? I don't even know if Phillip Rivers waited 3 years. I think maybe it was 2. Carson Palmer waited 1 year. He sat behind John Kitna. And Kitna was 8-8 that year. And I remember Peter King mentioning him for MVP that year with what he did with that team. Yeah, Paulie.
You're right. Phil Rivers started first 2 years on the bench. He was 25 when he made his first start. Can you imagine that now?
Oh, it'd be unheard of. But Joe Burrow's 23. This is why the scouts love Trevor Lawrence. Now, first of all, it's what you can't have, and you always love what you can't have. And he's a better prospect because we haven't seen his ceiling. We saw Joe Burrow's ceiling. This goes back to the Deshaun Watson question. Does he need to show you anything else? And apparently, Deshaun Watson didn't show NFL teams enough because he fell in the draft. Joe Burrow, high ceiling, the highest ceiling that we've ever seen with a college football quarterback, what the numbers were. Nobody has come close to something like that. All right. Now he goes into the NFL. He's 3 years older, I believe, than Trevor Lawrence. The scouts are looking at this and saying, Trevor Lawrence is this good at this age. Joe Burrow is this good at this age. Will Trevor Lawrence be better than Joe Burrow at age 23? And that's what you're banking on. Like, scouts look at Joe Burrow and say, yeah, he has potential to be a good quarterback. That was the quote I got yesterday. He can be a good quarterback. I said, wait, what about the Brady with athleticism comparisons here? And he goes, I didn't say it. And I said, well, Rick Neuheisel said he's Brady with athleticism. And the scout goes, I respect Rick Neuheisel. Joe Burrow has a chance to be a good quarterback. Trevor Lawrence has a chance to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I went, okay. All right. I'm going to have to be convinced there. He looks like a franchise quarterback. He looks like the sure thing, just like Andrew Luck. When you watch Trevor Lawrence, and maybe I look at it differently, if I was going to have a movie and I needed to have a quarterback or, you know, an actor play a quarterback, he would look like Trevor Lawrence. Like, if Beverly Hills 90210 had a football team, Trevor Lawrence would be my quarterback. Have the flowing hair.
Even the name.
Yeah. Trevor. And they'd call him Trev or TL. Yes, McLovin.
But what else is Trevor Lawrence supposed to do? He's having the best college career of all time. I mean, he won as a freshman. He got the title game as a sophomore. It's unbelievable. I mean,
he's not having a better college career than Tim Tebow did.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Well, if he continues on this pace.
I mean, he's better, but he's not having a better career.
Right. He doesn't put up the numbers of those guys, but success-wise, he's been way up there.
Well, he plays in the ACC. Come on. Give me a break.
That's helped
here.
A lot.
Yes.
But he killed Alabama in the national title game.
I know. He did. And then he got killed against LSU.
All these quarterbacks, Tua had the best rating in the history of the sport. Like, now everyone in offense is putting up huge numbers. I can't tell.
Why are you yelling at me?
He said Trevor Lawrence bet.
you're probably going to. Did you find the Vegas odds of Trevor Lawrence being the number one pick? Like, this was a gift I gave you. For all the dedication, all the times that you took a shower, shame, a wheel of punishment, I gave you a gift, McLovin.
But Justin Fields is great. I heard Kuiper say the other day that he might pass Lawrence.
I don't know if he is. I don't know if he is. He looks like he's better than Dwayne Haskins. If I'm going to gauge it, well, okay, is he better than the quarterback he replaced? I think he's going to be better than Dwayne Haskins. So, you know, he's more athletic. You know, he runs with the football. I mean, Trevor Lawrence fits the profile. He checks the box for everything that they want. Oh, he's a tall quarterback. He's athletic. Big arm. Leader. You know, he's got it all. Yeah, McLovin.
Would you put Justin Fields in the same category where he might sit out then because of the same situation as Trevor Lawrence if they push the football back to the spring?
I don't know. You know, if I look at this, if I'm a GM and I look at a quarterback who wants to shut it down, let's say we have spring football and you know, are you going to run the risk of getting hurt or, you know, the draft will be coming up? You don't want to see a quarterback shut it down. I can understand when Bosa did this. I can understand when McCaffrey did this. Did Fournette do this as well, where they decided that they were
Fournette skipped the bowl game and McCaffrey skipped the bowl game.
Yeah. I get it. At those positions, I get it. I wouldn't want my quarterback to shut it down. If I'm going to look at drafting a quarterback, I wouldn't want to look at him and go, yeah, but he kind of quit on his team. So I'm guessing Trevor Lawrence is going to play. I'm going to guess Justin Fields is going to play as well. I saw an article about Leonard Fournette. This was it was a blog about Leonard Fournette. The Draft Network talked about Leonard Fournette and that he's not a bad football player. It's just because two of his three seasons, he's had over 1,000 yards rushing. But his impact as a runner is not something that should have been taken in the top 10, especially given Jacksonville's quarterbacking problems. So they missed on these quarterbacks as well, and they took Leonard Fournette. He's missed 16 games the last 3 years as well. But, you know, he's taken fourth overall. If Leonard Fournette is taken in the second round, we're looking at this him completely different. Man, it'd be like, what a steal they got. Alvin Kamara is great because he went in the, third round? Kareem Hunt, because where you drafted him. The Jags chose not to exercise the fifth-year option. Well, you have these expectations when you go 30, or you go fourth instead of 34th. Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt drafted beyond where Jacksonville picked at the top of day two. So, you know, you just start to look at this, and Leonard Fournette, you know, at that position, nobody's going to be using a top 10 pick on a running back. I can't imagine anytime soon. If you were redrafting, Christian McCaffrey is probably not taken in the top 10. Is Saquon Barkley taken number 2 overall by the Giants? Probably not. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, you say that, but every 3 or 4 years, there's that guy who bowls people over, and they're just like, you can't believe what he does, and you assume he's going to do the exact same thing. Reggie Bush, you think he's going to do the exact same thing. Saquon Barkley, and they can't do that because the pros aren't set up for that. And you just fall in love, and you use a top 10 pick.
It's a different game. It used to be that those running backs, that's what you wanted. You needed those running backs. Now you don't. I mean, Fournette became more valuable because what did he catch, 70 passes last year? I mean, that's a good season. But for the fourth pick overall, he doesn't make Jacksonville better. Right? And Nick Chubb is just as valuable, if not more so, than Leonard Fournette because of where you drafted him. That's the key. When you didn't exercise the fifth-year option, that tells you everything you need to know about a player. He's a bust from the standpoint of you took him fourth overall. Even though he's had production, you're not even going to keep him for a fifth year. Which you would want to keep somebody for the fifth year, in my opinion. Run him as much as you can. And then you move on to your next running back. Yeah, Paul.
Nick Chubb is going to cost the Browns $4 million over 4 seasons, and he's one of the best running backs in football. He's basically almost free.
I love Nick Chubb. And there were times when I said, well, you guys stop trying to force the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. the third. Give it to Nick Chubb. Help out Baker Mayfield here. No, we got to keep forcing the ball in there. We're going to get it to Odell. What is Nick Chubb average per carry, Paul?
In two seasons, he's averaging 5.1 yards per carry.
Damn.
He and Derrick Henry are the best breakaway backs in the league.
And where did Derrick Henry go in the draft? Is he late first round, McLovin?
I thought he was second round.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
But Nick Chubb doesn't win. I don't know why. He's amazing, but they can't. Why is it that even the good running backs aren't really high winners?
Well, that might be how he's used.
Yeah.
Because you have Nick Chubb, now I'm able to go draft. You know, I can use Myles Garrett, get Myles Garrett. I can get these guys, get an offensive lineman. I mean, I don't put the Browns when they win or lose on Nick Chubb. I put that on the coaching staff and the quarterback play. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't understand with all that skill position talent how they didn't win more last year. I mean, this is partly fan speaking, but they look so good on paper.
But you had a coach who shouldn't have been the head coach. And you had Baker who was doing all these commercials, and now you got to live up to the hype here. I got Odell Beckham who wants his touches. Jarvis Landry wants his touches. Like, it's a recipe for disaster. You need to have an all-in mentality there. And that means if Odell Beckham gets 55 catches, hopefully he does damage with most of those catches, or Jarvis Landry. But you have to say this is what we are. We have to, you know, shrink this playbook a little bit, be a little more conservative so Baker is not trying to make the home run play every single play. And I think they got into that. Like, you're watching, and he was staring down Odell Beckham, and I kept thinking, this is where these other guys step up, or you can utilize them. I just thought the offense was never in sync, and you do have as much talent as anybody there. I got two running backs. It feels like if you're going to have a running style, like, that would be a team that could have a running style. It's just Odell Beckham is there, as great as he is, as talented as he is, he would not be the guy I want with Baker Mayfield. I need a guy who will help him, and it doesn't feel like Odell Beckham is that way. You know, he's a star. He wants to be featured as a star. I don't know if Baker is capable of doing that with him without upsetting everybody, you know, the rest of the offense there. But that's why you got a new head coach there, and Baker Mayfield is on the clock in Cleveland this year because we got to find out if he's the rookie Baker Mayfield or the second-year Baker Mayfield. Because if it's the latter, then all of a sudden, Cleveland is going to be interested in a quarterback. 22 after the hour. Phone calls are coming up. Take a break here. We'll check in with the Iowa head coach, Kirk Ferentz. Sounds like he's bringing his team back on June 1st. We'll talk to him about all these different scenarios with college football a little bit later on. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Check things all the time. Email, Instagram. Check something important. Check your credit. Discover makes it quick and easy. When's the last time you did check your credit? Paulie, when's the last time you check your credit?
In all seriousness, last night. I get alerts. They send alerts right to you.
Did you get an alert that I was going to ask you about your credit today?
Yes, that's okay. How good they are.
Man,
if you work on a radio show, they'll give you alerts.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. you know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Saw where Jadeveon Clowney, probably not going back to Seattle, goes back to the draft, where we wondered at the time, could he live up to that hit that he had on the Michigan running back?
Vincent Smith.
Yeah. Was that the Outback Bowl?
Yes.
He had that incredible tackle, and everybody fell in love with Jadeveon Clowney. And we had heard a lot about him at South Carolina. Plus, you know, he had the single-digit number that we loved. You know, big recruit there for Steve Spurrier. He hasn't lived up to that hit in the Outback Bowl. Now, he's a good player. What struck me is, I said to Paulie, Jadeveon Clowney looks like a freak of nature. But he hasn't had 10 sacks in a season, which I find incredible. I thought he was going to be like, remember the Titans had the freak?
Javon
Kearse. I thought, wow, if they get somebody like that, if he's anywhere near Javon Kearse, how good would that be? Yeah, Paul.
I guess this would be a question for everybody. I was looking back at the number one draft picks, and the guys who I think we would have thought, they're going to the Hall of Fame. I think Clowney would have been a guy you'd bet a week's pay was going to the Hall of Fame someday. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck would have, and things have changed. But if you look at the number one overall draft picks of the past 20 years, the only one going to the Hall of Fame is probably Eli Manning, going all the way back to 04. There's lots of names. You know, Jared Goff's got a long way to go, but... You know, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Matt Stafford, maybe. Jake Long, nope. Jamarcus Russell, nope. Mario Williams, nope. Alex Smith, no. Then you go to Eli Manning in 04. And even he is a debate.
Well, McLevin sent me a list here of the most recruited players. This is, what's the time frame here, Andy?
Okay, this is old. This is from 2011, so it misses the last decade.
Okay.
It's amazing, though.
You want
guess
to clear
who number
throat?
Three? Sorry. Okay. Guess who the second? There are three quarterbacks at the top. You will never guess who they are.
These all are the most recruited. The highest recruited?
Yes, out of high school.
So coverage out of high school is what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
2011.
I'm going to say Matt Barkley is in there.
He's 8.
Oh, this is a...
Two come from one of the favorite teams of two Danettes. Notre Dame.
Wow, I just peeked.
Is Terrell Pryor on there?
Yes, he's high, but he's not top three. Okay. He's very high. He's like 9.
Okay, so Notre Dame has 2 quarterbacks on there?
Yes.
All right.
It's a little unfair because this is old, but you'll remember these guys coming out of high school.
Wait, this wasn't the guy who Beano Cook said would win 2 Heismans, Ron Paulus.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was unfair to that kid.
But he was very hot as a freshman. Oh. He was one of those guys. I can remember Musburger saying, take a good look at this kid because the NFL is going
to
want him.
But didn't they make him into a running back?
No, you're thinking the kid who went to quarterback Dan Kendra. He went to FSU.
Yes, yeah.
And he was a high-end. This is my wheelhouse, by the way, 80s, 90s college football. Dan Kendra was a big Florida State recruit, and they made him a fullback later in his career.
There you go.
Possibly shooting guard at Duke, too, right?
Peyton Manning on the list?
He's 5. Another Notre Dame quarterback is high up. One that Mel Kiper was
Jimmy Clausen.
Number 2. I don't remember that. Was he a big recruit?
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. And then who's the number 1 most?
Number 3. No. It goes Palace, Clausen. Number 3 is a great friend of the show. Little pedigree. His dad was an NFL quarterback.
Oh, Chris Sims?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris was, there was a
he
battle.
He was going to Tennessee.
Yeah, big battle. A lot of coverage about that one.
Who else is on that list? These are the most hyped players, or the most highly recruited players. And Jadeveon Clowney's on that list, correct?
Yeah, so this came out in 2011, and at that time he was like number 7 on there. But you nailed Terrell Pryor was on there. Matt Barkley was on there. I don't remember. Matt Barkley was a huge deal for USC.
Yeah. Was he modern day or was he De La Salle?
Let's see. Matt Barkley. Yeah, modern day. Oh. And then there was Lorenzo Booker, who was a Florida State running back. I remember him as a player.
Booker was a big deal because when we were back at ESPN, he was one of the first guys, maybe the first guy, who declared with 3 hats on live TV on ESPN News. And he declared for Florida State. And it wasn't happening back then. He kind of invented it with ESPN.
2 others, Tim Couch and also Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson, that seems like he would have been big, right?
I don't remember. You know, it's usually the quarterback. I don't remember how good. I remember watching Matt Barkley when he was in high school. Now, I would watch those Friday night games. And I remember just what a big deal he was back then. But then usually anybody going to USC back then, you know, it was a big deal. Fournette was a big deal. Marshall Faulk was a big deal. Yeah, there were certain guys where you go, man, that guy, he can't miss. That guy's unbelievable. Remember the guy who went to Kansas? He was a quarterback. His name was Bubba.
Sterling. He went to baseball.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember reading an article that he was either going to play football at Kansas or play baseball. Is he still playing baseball?
Did he end up at Nebraska? Bubba Starling?
Yeah, but he never went. He's a Royal. He was the 5th pick in the draft. I think he's still in baseball and still with a possibility to become okay. He never did play football.
Oh, so he wasn't going to Kansas. Was he from Kansas but going to Nebraska? Is that what it was? But I remember that was one of those. He was a Tim Tebow-like.
Yeah. But the money of baseball seemed better, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you can make it. Absolutely. All right, we'll get some phone calls in here. Every time I see the new episodes coming up with The Last Dance with Jordan, they start the trailer, the promo. I'm on SportsCenter. And it's so weird where sometimes I'll be looking up on the TV and I'll see myself and I go, wait, what am I doing? Oh, that's like 20 years 25 years ago. Hair looked pretty good.
You know, a lot of airtime this week. They've run his promos 18 times
an
hour.
I know. Yes, Todd.
Last Sunday night, I heard your voice several times. Are they going out of their way to not to show you? They put Bill Patrick's face up there during SportsCenter and several others, but there was at least 3 or 4 times when I heard your voice, and I went to my wife and son and said, that's Dan. you know, just a younger, higher pitched version of Dan. Like, I don't understand why they couldn't just show you for a second.
I don't know if we need to do the high pitch stuff. I mean,
wow.
Like, where did that come
God
from?
God hasn't talked in 2 hours.
I mean, like a younger voice. That's, you know, that's what I meant by higher pitch. Not a bad sounding voice. You wouldn't have made it to SportsCenter if there was something strange with your voice. Just a younger sounding Dan Patrick. But I don't know why they couldn't put you on there.
Yeah. Who's high pitch? Yes.
It was a different era in media. It's okay.
Yeah, but you could phrase it, Fritzy, like youthful and velvety. I mean, there's a way to say
I could have chosen a better word.
Yeah, I mean.
It didn't mean to be a shock.
I didn't have a high pitch.
Buttery and fresh.
I guess high pitch probably isn't the best word to use. I didn't realize you get offended so quickly. I thought I'm the sensitive one.
I think that
a more younger sounding voice.
You were still finding the radio voice that we've now all come to know and love.
You seem bailing me out. I appreciate it.
Not really.
If I say you look husky.
Is that you're taking a shot right now at me? Or
no, I'm just saying, is that a compliment?
And it would not be a compliment.
Okay.
Probably better off saying, you know, you could lose a few or something like that. That's probably a more gentle way of saying it. But and it brings back bad memories, because when I was a kid, I went to a jean store and they had Slim and Husky with the actual names of the two divisions of the pants.
I'm going to start calling you Butch Husky. Former Husky.
I'll never forget Lori Greenblatt walking around on the girl's side, and I said hi to her, and there she sees me as my mom picks up the Husky pants and has me go into change when it was just like a little napkin on a string was basically the curtain that gave you the privacy while you're changing, and your little underwear, your underoos are sticking out, and there's just zero privacy. Trying on the old Husky 34s.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
A couple of phone calls in here. Caleb in North Carolina. Hey, Caleb, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time. 6'5", 250. And I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on, with college budgets getting cut, do you think we'll see a change to more regional conferences throughout the Power Five and the Group of Five?
I really don't know, Caleb. Like, this is, and thanks for the phone call. It just feels like the longer this goes, the less I know about what college football, college sports is going to resemble. You had all those sports that were canceled in the spring, but then inviting those athletes, if they want to come back and try to do it again next spring. We don't even know what next spring is going to look like. Is college football going to start on time? Probably not. Are we going to have fans in the stands? Probably not. Are we going to have 10 games instead of 12 or 13? Probably so. I just don't know. Can kids go to school? If there is no school, can you be on campus? What if Vanderbilt says, we're not going to have classes on campus. And then Georgia says, we are. And Alabama says, we are. What if Northwestern says, look, football is not paramount here. We're not going to be playing football. We're not going to be traveling. Students aren't going to be on campus. What if Ohio State, Michigan State say, well, we are. It's the wild, wild west. Or at least it has the potential to be the wild, wild west. And I just don't know. And I don't know if anybody knows. I hope Kirk Ferentz knows something, the Iowa head coach. He'll join us coming up next hour. Yeah, Paulie.
There's something in me as a hardcore college football fan that would love to see them, or not love to see them, but if it happens that the season gets pushed back, let's say 6 weeks, can you imagine the college football being played in the winter in some of these local states, you know, Minnesota and different places? Yeah. It would be fascinating to see if they delved into February with the playoffs.
But we don't even know about the NFL. You have the schedules being released tonight. And I said this in the first hour, and I'll remind you about this. This is wishful scheduling, because we don't know what the first month of the season is going to be like. Will we have a first month of the season? Will we have 12 games? And when they started to look at the schedule, I don't have confirmation on this, but I have asked and I have somebody looking into this. Is there a 16-game, 14-game, and 12-game schedule that they have in place? And I believe that that's going to be the case. Just the contingency plans. The California teams might have to – the San Francisco 49ers might be sharing Mile High Stadium with the Broncos. You know, maybe we have another team in Vegas with the Raiders. Maybe there's going to be a team that will play in Arizona – sharing a stadium with the Cardinals. These are contingency plans. And I think it's real. Yes, Eden.
I've never been more excited about the schedule release, though. I can tell you that. I usually ignore it. I'm like, whatever. I'll just figure out who's playing. But man, this year, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Get the popcorn out.
Matt in South Carolina. Hi, Matt. What do you have for me today?
Hey, what's up, DP? Colin, you're talking about Trevor Lawrence. McLovin hit the nail on the head with this one because he is absolutely can't miss. Like, a lot of people think he digressed, which, if you just look at film, he probably did. But by numbers, he didn't. Like, he set the bar for himself so high his freshman year that his numbers his second year were actually a little bit better. Pretty much the same, a little bit better, just a few more picks. His numbers last year were actually better than Deshaun Watson's were the year Deshaun came in second in the Heisman. Mm. So, McLovin, keep carrying that sword. I wish you could pull a little bit more recent recruiting rankings. Probably no other radio show doing deep dive into highly recruited 2011 players, but
that's a shot there. That's a shot there by Matt, and well done. Well done. Yes, McLovin.
I don't think it's really a hot take to jump on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon by me, by the way. That was kind of a layup.
Yeah, I know.
I also like Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, by the way.
Yeah. It's good that you're carrying the sword for Trevor Lawrence because nobody else is. Yes.
Right. That's the because I called it. I called it. I mean, I told you guys that Trevor was going to be great.
Hey, remember I told you he was going to overcome that sophomore year? I told you that. Hey, nobody else did.
Dan, you know who I like? I'm hearing good things about Aaron Donald in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch him. Hey, might go mid round. Yeah, he's a sleeper. We love in this position, we love to say we told you. Now, we rarely say, hey, sorry to admit this, but I told you. But yeah, there are times when you go, I told you. I remember.
That's like the most baffling question in all of sports media is, hey, can you name one that you missed on?
I did.
I got to go back.
I'll take a break. I'll tell you. This was... Now, Paulie chronicles these things.
I've got a whole chart over here.
Exactly. I have my worst whiff, the whiff, and I'll have that for you coming up. You guys can try to guess my worst whiff. That's up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, this should be painful. I love to tell you all the times I got things right. Sometimes I conveniently leave out when I got something wrong. My biggest whiff on the show, making a prediction. Now, if you want to do college to pro, who is going to be good or not good? Yeah, Paulie?
Basketball or football? Or do you have one of each?
I have one whiff that is pretty glaring. And does anybody have a guess on my biggest? Well, it may not be my biggest whiff. I'm not sure. But I know that I whiffed on this call. Yeah, McLovin.
I have a couple whiffs that I know you made, but they weren't bad. Okay. I mean,
we don't have to rub
EJ Manuel, but you were right.
I said EJ Manuel was going to be a first round pick.
And so you nailed that.
I loved his personality. Yeah. I didn't know if he'd be any good. I said I loved his personality, he'd be a first round pick. So I won't take a cold third on that one.
No. The other one that jumps to mind is, and I think it was you who's excited one day about Logan Thomas.
Yes, that's my whiff.
Oh, get out of here. That's
my whiff. No, McLovin, I said he was going to win the Heisman.
You did.
Yes, I did.
I know. I stole that take from you, too.
I said Virginia Tech will go undefeated and Logan Thomas will win the Heisman.
You're all in the pool.
Oh.
Circa 2012-2013, Logan Thomas, 6'6", 245, yeah. Awesome quarterback at Virginia Tech. He didn't throw a lot of touchdowns compared to his interceptions. He ended up becoming a tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, I know. I thought that due to injuries, he was going to get a start at quarterback, and he almost did. And I thought, maybe I'll salvage this. But I said he was going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He almost became a starter one game. Yes, Heaton.
I have somebody that I thought was not going to be good in the NBA, and has turned out to be phenomenal. I couldn't have been more wrong. But I remember we had this person in studio, and I was like, no way that dude's making it.
Who was it?
Andrew?
Oh, that's Trae Young.
Trae Young. Oh. Yeah. I was like,
I'm right with you.
No way that dude's going to play well at the next level.
I had another whiff where I thought OJ Mayo was going to be a better pro than Kevin Love. And I said, man, I'd see him. His ceiling is going to be like 15-8. And I remember when they made that draft day deal and Paulie and I were discussing it and who got the better end of the deal. And I thought OJ Mayo was going to be a better pro than Kevin Love. I whiffed on that one as well. Yeah, Paulie.
I watched a couple Arizona State games in his college career. He didn't play long there. I didn't see James Harden. I thought he was a gunner with not much else, which...
He is.
Yeah, but I didn't see the high end. And even when he was early in his career with Oklahoma, I thought he was kind of a guy who's going to be, if you go way back, like a Vinnie Johnson, who can come off the bench and be a spurt offense guy. I never saw it.
I thought he was just going to be a heavy guy that wasn't going to be able to play in the NBA. I mean, I just remember there's certain guys where you watch and you go, I don't know how they're doing it, but they score when they want to. And that was always the thought when I watched Harden, because I have friends who went to Arizona State. They'd be like, we got a pro here. And I go, all right. And they would tell me about James Harden. And then I would watch and I go, I don't know if he's a pro. It's almost like you're watching Patrick Mahomes where you go, I'm interesting, but I don't know if it translates into the NFL. Yeah, Paul.
I can remember specifically watching Chris Paul at Wake Forest. I'm like, this guy's not that quick, and he doesn't jump at all, really. Yeah. And he's not overtly strong. I didn't see anything special about his game. I thought, I thought he was going to be one of those nice bounce around point guards. I didn't see Chris Paul.
Well, the same thing with Steve Nash. I remember his agent said, "You're sleeping on Steve Nash." I go, he played at Santa Clara. I think Bill Duffy was his agent. And I remember going, there's no way this guy can play in the NBA. Like, he got an interesting haircut, and it looks like he weighs about 170 pounds, but he was going to be a bench player. And all of a sudden, when I went to the All-Star weekend in New York and the number of players who came up to Steve Nash, all the star players, they loved Steve Nash because they wanted to play with Steve Nash. Yeah, Seton.
You know who I thought was going to be a thing, but is pretty much seems like disappeared? Jeremy Lamb. I thought Jeremy Lamb was going to be a good player.
UConn?
Yeah. I think he went, I don't know if he went top 10 or not, maybe 12, something like that. But man, I thought he was going to be good.
Yeah, McLovin.
I got a couple good ones. Tyler Bray out of Tennessee, the quarterback, and Ryan Mallett, the Michigan quarterback. Not so much.
Well, Ryan Mallett, the Michigan quarterback, might have been better than Ryan Mallett, the Arkansas quarterback. I don't know.
Right.
No. Rich Rodriguez? Yeah, Paul.
No time for Tate Forcier, Denard Robinson from Michigan?
Oh, man.
Oh.
Final hour coming up. Kirk Ferentz, the Iowa head coach, going to join us. More of your phone calls as well. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.